You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Around the NFL podcast alternates between being the big spoon and the little spoon.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. Dan Hans is here. Heroes with me, Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal, Colleen Wolf. And it is, we touched on it maybe a little bit on the Sunday night show, but how about that? Kayvon Thibodeau, one of the most iconic, infamous guests in the history of the show, having a superstar moment. That adds more juice to the squeeze, Mark, from our interview years ago, or months ago, I should say.
Yeah, it feels like, feels like yesterday.
The interview felt like it went on for years, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we did. We asked him if he surmised, after having spent an offseason, you know, he's a very new to the NFL, with Coach Brian Daboll, who was new to the Giants, whether he thought that Brian Daboll was would operate typically, characteristically, as a big spoon or a little spoon, and he refused to go down that avenue with
us. He was offended by the questioning. That wasn't the only thing that rubbed him the wrong way, and I was pulled aside by a high-up booker in the company and said, hey, man, what happened with that interview?
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
And this is after two great interviews where I really established like a great rapport between Kayvon and the group. Mm. And like got him in the flow of things. But they say they're going to wait till I go to Japan again. And then
Greg kind of lives
again
in his own reality sometimes. I think Kayvon
say the least
went out of his way
fun
to kind of let you know that he wasn't your friend, as I recall.
Right now, we're acquaintances.
He said we were acquaintances.
You know, it's weird. I talked to him at the Super Bowl.
Once I leave this, you guys are going to feel like you know me. And it's not because I want to be you guys' friends, but it's because I'm authentic.
But you do want to be our friends, right?
I don't.
I don't. He had so much personality when I talked to him last February. I don't know what happened with
you guys. Had a lot of personality Sunday night during his post-game pressers. He was dropping gems. He's like Muhammad Ali on the mic, this guy. So if you combine that level of play in New York with that charisma,
it's going to take you places.
It will.
What a combo.
And it will take you back to this studio next June. Very quiet time. Where we make things right. And I don't mean to be exclusionary with that, Greggy. If you want to be a part of it, absolutely. But it's almost like unfinished business for Mark and I personally with Kayvon. Justin was there like watching the car crash from the other side of the glass. It's a bit of a personal issue for us.
I mean, I have friends who are, you know, longtime friends who were Giants fans who just texted like just a question mark after being like,
everything okay?
Bro.
No.
I want to just bridge the gap. I think you.
I'm not sure
you are
the. I'm not sure I would look at you as a bridge the gap person.
I'm Switzerland is now going to bridge the gap. I see that. That's not really how it works.
They can't all be winners. You know?
In retrospect, it was maybe the greatest winner ever.
Yeah, we leaned into it.
It lost so hard that it ended up winning. All right, a lot to get to today. We have, without further ado, Connor Orr to discuss the elite Hallmark Lifetime Christmas and holiday movies that you need to see. And you cannot miss that segment. And you might say, oh, I'm a football guy. I'll turn that off. Do not turn off that segment because you're going to miss something special.
Yeah, you nerd.
Yeah, you geek.
It's going to be great.
We also are going to preview TNF. Big one, Jaguars, Jets from the Meadowlands. And a little fun announcement at the end of that preview. Is that a loser goes home match? No. For the Jets, probably, but not for both. I think the Jags even have a little wiggle room given the Titans struggle, Justin.
Basically, whoever wins the Week 18 between Jags and Titans will win the division. It almost doesn't matter what happens.
Feels
until
that way,
then,
right?
Because of tiebreakers. If the Jags win, they'll be 2-0 against Titans. They'll have a tiebreaker. If the Titans win that game, they'll have a better division record, so they'll win the tiebreaker.
I mean,
so.
If it doesn't matter, if I were the Titans, I'd take 2 weeks off and get healthy. They're very
banged
up.
Except if the Jaguars lose 2 games in a row, then they're out. Then so what are you talking Titans about? Clinch. It's a mini playoff game. They're both not totally out. It's like a little playoff primer.
Yes, and that's not what people thought back in week 3 or 4, by the way. So we end up getting a good game on Thursday night. Also, we're going to do some news. Before we do that, again, it was lose your voice Sunday and Saturday in the NFL for the radio announcers. We had the World Cup decided on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That guy's voice was cracking as he was screaming. So before we move into the news, Harry Ruiz, who calls games for Raiders radio network in Spanish, let's see if his voice cracks on the infamous Chandler Jones snatch and score.
Solo presión de tres. Ramondre Stevenson con el acarreo. Y Stevenson sigue de pie. Avanza de la 45 a la 40, a la 35, a la 30. Lanza el pase hacia atrás con Jacoby Myers. Y los Patriotas ahora simplemente. Chandler Jones intercepta el pase. Chandler Jones se mantiene de pie. Chandler Jones se va, se va, se va. Hasta la cocina. Touchdown.
Hasta la cocina? Is that to the kitchen?
To the house.
To the house.
To the kitchen.
To the kitchen.
I thought
kitchen.
No,
you're right. It is to
the kitchen.
To the kitchen.
Maybe it means something different. I don't know.
Passes laterales. Y los Raiders de la manera más improbable posible en la historia del fútbol americano.
Most improbable.
Why does everything sound better in Spanish?
It really does.
It's so lyrical. I was just thinking
language.
That. It really rolls off.
It's a beautiful
off the,
language.
Yeah. We need that.
One word in the next.
We need that for us.
Let's do that. Let's.
No one tops America.
Easy, Greggy.
Oh
easy.
God.
What we're gonna do is we're gonna go dark during the summer. We're gonna become bilingual and come back and Mark this one. You'll love.
Yeah.
We'll do every show in English. And then we'll take a break. We'll have a cup of coffee. Then do the same show in Spanish.
I think it's a service.
Gain a bigger audience.
I mean, so, if we were more aware, we would have learned Spanish about 12 years ago. If we really understood how this country
so
works.
So you're all learning Spanish. Like, no one's going to learn German.
We all took it. Did
no
you all take it as kids?
French.
So we have a little base. We have a little base. Yeah. I took it as a kid, you know.
Colleen's going to learn Latin, actually, just in case.
Arabic.
Dead language.
I took Latin. I flipped from Spanish to Latin in high school because it was supposed to be easier, and it was. Don't do that, kids. It's useless. Spanish would have been
Gaelic,
way better.
Gaelic, baby.
Uh-huh.
Gaelic's on fire.
If you are a young person listening to this, go learn Spanish. If you're going to end up in locker rooms, especially like in baseball, for instance, or many other sports or whatever, get that. Don't do Latin.
No, that's a stupid
just learn
idea.
Another language.
Yeah.
Full stop.
My kids are taking
a lot
of Spanish.
Help you on your SAT. Says who? I don't remember.
Take your SATs and put it there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's.
I think that's what you did back in the day.
And then my Uncle Bill.
Sure.
Always used to say, and he was right. He said, you got to take as many business and economics courses as you can. And my Uncle Bill also said, what's the last 4 letters of American? I can. So anyway, this guy knew his stuff. He also shot free throws underhanded and was very good, Bob Cousy style. So I feel like I should have taken more economics and business courses. Would have helped us in our career if we had more business savvy.
Yeah, I didn't take one, not even one.
So same. Missed that boat too. Anyway, forget about the regrets. We got a lot to get to. We ended up okay.
Yeah, look at us now.
I took plenty of econ. Overrated. What did it matter?
He went econ.
What I mean, I
matter?
Took 4 years of Spanish like in that. College, and I can't do anything with
Samesies.
It.
Samesies. All right, let's get to the news. Oh, by the way, before we hit the news, I want you to know, Justin, what we're about to play did not come from this side of the glass, nor is it endorsed, but it's quite enjoyable from Aaliyah and our great editor friend Jake. Or Drake, excuse me.
All righty, we were reporting outside of SoFi Stadium for the Chargers-Titans game, and we are out here asking Titans fans who this man, resident Titans fan Justin Graber, is, and if they know him.
Amazing.
Are we familiar at all with NFL Network around the NFL?
Yes.
So do we know, by chance, know who Justin Graber is?
I do not.
No, I don't.
Ouch. Justin?
No.
No.
Gravedigger?
Grave? Nah. Who is that?
No, who's Justin Graber?
Titans film room?
No.
Never heard of the Gravedigger?
Not in a football context.
First thing that comes to mind when you see this picture?
Yeah, I don't know this guy.
I have no idea.
Don't know that guy.
Beauty.
He look like he's very studious.
Oh, that hurts. The handsome cat right there.
Yeah.
Hey, nice clothes there by Derek Henry
very
fan.
Very studious.
Justin, your thoughts?
There's got to be some.
Who's that?
What are we doing here? I don't even know who that is. No one else does.
Wrong number.
I was hoping he was going to forget. Yes, Justin.
Something fishy's going on with that edit, I think, because some people would have known who
He doesn't even believe the truth.
No, I like that. I like that. Deny, deny, deny.
Tell yourself that.
very good. They wanted to play it on Sunday, like. And, I don't know, a certain 8-foot monster that sits behind you and doesn't speak was like, oh, yeah, it'll be great because his parents are going to be here, too. And I'm like, what? That makes it a better thing to play?
Well, Greg and I were pushing for it hard on Sunday.
And we were like, yeah, I think it'd be funny. They would like it. But it felt like a tough day for the Titans fans and the Graver family. We don't want
to. We had a lot of great football to recap on Sunday. Okay. We don't need to bog it down with that
right.
nonsense.
That was a long pod. Anyway.
You know, we know who you are, and many of our listeners do, and I do love you, Justin.
Thanks. That was fun.
I think you're very studious looking, too.
Mm-hmm. And good looking. Attractive man. Let's get to it. Interesting scenario here around Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of the 13-1 now? Is that what they are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness. 13-1 Eagles. He scored 3 touchdowns on the ground in their latest win. He also threw 2 interceptions in a game for the first time this year. And then we learned on Monday that he suffered a shoulder sprain, potentially related, Connie, to throwing issues. And his status is in doubt for week 16 against the Cowboys. And Connie, we hit on this a little bit on the Power Rankings podcast, which everybody should check out. But it's a bit of a delicate dance here now for the Eagles. You have Gardner Minshew as the backup. You have a little bit of cushion here with the Cowboys based on picking up another game in the standings on Sunday and also the first head-to-head matchup win earlier this year. And yet, finding that balance between resting your guy and winning that number one seed, that's a tough one.
I hate it. Yeah. I hate it all.
Oh,
of
what
course
a
this
what a
is
tough
gonna
life
happen
for Colleen.
Right before Christmas. Come on. You know, I think that obviously the news that it's not a collarbone is good. That's positive to hear that it's a sprained shoulder instead. They're not ruling him out yet, but I doubt that they play him, and I don't think they should play him at this point. I think that they should be careful with him. They need him down the road. And what we talked about on the Power Ranking show earlier was the fact that I'm worried looking into the playoffs now about the fact that the most improved part of his game this season is his downfield passing. And now I'm wondering how this will affect that, because having that in combination with the way that he can move on the ground is why they have been able to find so much success. They're lucky that they have a good offensive line. And of course we have another fast healer at this point.
Yeah. Let's hear from Nick Sirianni, who didn't rule out Hurts playing even this week. Mm-hmm.
I don't put anything past Jalen Hurts as far as his mental and physical toughness. So there's a chance he could play this week. He heals fast. He's a freak. His body is not like, pardon me, yours or mine, right? And so I'm shaming myself there a little bit too. His body's not like ours.
You know what I love about Nick Sirianni, by the way, one of the many things, is he looks like a guy that would be belly up at the bar at Patty's in Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Except he's being modest there, because we saw him at the combine and he's kind of a specimen. He's in great shape and a big dude.
Was like, I think the whole coaching staff was having a competition over the off season to see who could have the least amount of body fat. So
really?
Yeah, they were.
That checks out. I like that competition.
That's a little different than like the '80s in the head coach ranks.
Yeah,
the coaching
that's
staff.
So not true.
Here's the thing with the Hurts injury though. If you could pick a scenario for him to hurt his shoulder, which is terrible, this is it. The Cowboys blowing that game against the Jaguars.
That helped.
Yep.
Looms massive. The Eagles have the Saints and the Giants next, so you can still get Hurts back in the regular season for one or both of those if you want. Your magic number to get the one seed here is one. So you can just let Gardner Minshew start this game. There's a chance they win this game with Gardner Minshew, certainly. And if you don't, all you need is one more win or one more loss from
Saints
the Cowboys. You're basically killing time for the next month, and so you don't have to worry about
it. I'm with you. I mean, I guess it would hurt his MVP chances, but I don't think the Eagles or Jalen Hurts are too round up in that. Like, it's
I don't know. That would make a lot of money for Jalen Hurts
to
be the MVP.
But
special. You're right. I bet he would want to come back. I don't know if the team would listen to that.
It doesn't sound overly serious. And like the Philadelphia Inquirer report that it would probably be shelving for 2 weeks. We'll see if that's even the case. But I mean, I don't see. And then you'd probably sit everyone with the place they're in week 18. So it's possible we don't see him until the playoffs. The only thing that worries me about that is, like, I don't like any player or team that takes this big break before a playoff game.
Right. I'm more worried now because no one else is concerned. That, to me, is alarming.
Yeah. And we would never find out what the reality is with this shoulder sprain, no matter what.
But
like, everyone's saying, oh, it's not that serious. He could play. I buy that. I buy if it was a playoff game, he'd be playing this week. But if it was more serious, we wouldn't know.
He
no
threw
one
that
would
huge
say
A.J. Brown pass after the injury.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point.
In other news and in other quarterback news, injured quarterback news, Matthew Stafford, who you last saw, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago now?
The Mesozoic era?
So I'm on the sideline trying to be too cool in a hoodie last night. I was like, how many layers are under that hoodie? It was like 5 degrees out there.
You think he needs to be in the big overcoat?
He was so cold. Like he looked like he was shivering, like he's calling the plays, and he's like, look, the shivering.
But what does he stand
maybe
to gain from
that? Maybe he had a
heated
vest.
That's what I mean. I was hoping there's some stuff underneath
heated shirt.
It.
You had the heated leg pantsuit, right, in Buffalo,
that was a
right?
Feels like pants. 5 degrees. I don't care. You need some
Here comes
some
Fidel
overwear.
Sassoon over here telling us how everyone needs to dress and look.
Fidel Sassoon.
That's a hair product.
I don't know.
Matthew Stafford, yes, he is on IR. Deeply disappointing for the Rams, who, by the way, and maybe you heard this or maybe you didn't, on the Greg Rosenthal Monday Night Football podcast. That's the title that it is, by the way. That the Rams have already tied the NFL record for the most losses for a defending champion at 10. Also, the earliest a defending champion has been eliminated from playoff consideration. I don't know if that's a record, but it's close.
It tied it. They're the worst defending champs ever.
So Stafford, a lot of thoughts about his career. He's been banged up through the years, of course. He won the Super Bowl MVP. He won a Super Bowl. What else does he have to prove? Blah, blah, blah. In general, we haven't heard from Matthew Stafford until he appeared on the Morning After podcast with Kelly Stafford. Yes, his wife, Kelly, asked in a straightforward nature, are you retiring, to her husband, to which he said, oh, no. So he'll be back. Will he be back with the Rams? Maybe. Maybe not.
Well, where else would he be back?
Any place where maybe the Rams could trade him if they want to go.
Whoa.
Wouldn't they? Why wouldn't the Rams, who are steaming towards a 4-13 season, not consider trading a guy that just won the Super Bowl and recouping serious assets to begin a rebuild in earnest?
Because then he would
picks.
Retire. And Sean McVay made a promise. Also, you have cap things.
You're presupposing that he wouldn't be open to a trade also.
Like, I am, yeah.
Okay.
At this point.
But wouldn't teams be concerned about his injury history, too, and the way that this whole season played out and the fact that the elbow was an issue even before the Rams traded for him?
Well, there's always one team out there that would consider it.
They would have a $50 million cap hit, too, if it was before June 1st. So they would have to wait until the offseason. I've heard speculation, you know, Stafford and Aaron Donald, the situation in terms of them playing or not could be different if they were, you know, in a competitive situation this year. We heard spinal cord, it was like, oh, that sounds troubling. I don't know if everyone believes that it's like the most serious injury ever, that they're actually kind of looking at Donald and Stafford not playing as a sign that those guys will be back because they're thinking about saving them for 2023.
I think part of the issue is you've got to almost do a Cincinnati Bengals-esque offseason attack on the offensive line. You've got to convince Matthew Stafford that you've got a second and third round pick and then a bunch of sixth round picks. That's all you got. You go into next offseason, you're $5+ million in the red on the cap. I know the cap doesn't matter, but that's not a great situation. And so you're right. If you ever try to move Matthew Stafford, you can't do anything financially. So how do you get these resources? How do you rebuild a line that's shattered and not run? They want to run it back. That's the big term from last year. You don't want to run this back.
Mm-mm. No, you do not. In other news, Taylor Heineke is obviously a figure that's very popular with Commanders fans. They, despite the difficult nature of Sunday night's loss, they still are in the playoff chase. And yet the head coach is keeping it open that Heineke might lose his job still to Carson Wentz. Rivera said in his press conference on Monday that he may have to think about a change at quarterback as Washington attempts to get off the mat after that defeat at the hands of the Giants. Mark, you're shaking your head.
Well, I just feel like Ron Rivera has never had a likable, buy-in, solid plan at quarterback in Washington. He was lucky he had Cam Newton, where there weren't a lot of questions about that in Carolina. But I don't really understand why Ron Rivera would need to even float this so that we have to discuss it. Because I get that Taylor Heineke's imperfect, but I am not nearly in the realm of thinking that Carson Wentz is this automatic massive upgrade. I mean, I think that Heineke at least has immense buy-in from the people around him. There's no perfect solution. They don't have a great answer at quarterback. Go switch him. Go put Carson Wentz in, and then watch that thing go south and answer questions about that next week.
Well, Heineke is starting against San Francisco, but him throwing that out there would indicate to me there's a chance Wentz plays in that game if Heineke struggles. I think it's telling Rivera, you know, with the playoff spot on the line, recognizes that Heineke's probably been the luckiest quarterback in the league. Like, PFF grading, only Zach Wilson is worse than him this year. No one has thrown more, had more turnover-worthy plays in the league, you know, per snap than Heineke. And that, he probably thinks Wentz is a little better. And in a vacuum, I would agree. But it just seems crazy with this team, the way it's gone, to go back.
Do you feel like anyone in the locker room wants Wentz? Probably suddenly not. Starting.
Well, I think the thing is, now Rivera has the option of using Wentz because last week was the first game that he was active since breaking his finger. So maybe now he's actually available to play. And if Heineke keeps turning over the ball, or if they just keep kicking field goals instead of scoring touchdowns, then maybe he does have to go to Wentz.
I want Wentz in the Taysom Hill role. Wentz is like too proud of a guy to ever do it, but are you kidding me? Carson Wentz is the perfect Taysom Hill, Jeff Driskel second quarterback to rotate in and out.
Wow.
Oh,
he's so
God.
Big. Like, that's the best part of him. He's not really a quarterback, but he throws it
he
well enough.
He does get hurt, though.
He's,
I don't know.
That's fine. I mean, at this
role.
Point, you take you
Greg
take the risk.
Greg doesn't care about that.
I'm saying you use him as a runner. When they were when a team that can't get the ball in on the goal line and you have a guy who's bigger than Cam Newton and is a great goal line option as a runner. I'm just saying.
Greg wants Wentz as the sacrificial lamb.
You don't think you say he's too proud? How do you know that?
Well, I hope he's not. I hope start using him as Jeff Driskel. Start doing a rotation. Let's
sounds
get
like a challenge.
Greggy's on one today.
As
I
we
like
all know,
it.
Excited to really go ahead and start to take command.
But Al Sassoon himself. And two quick transactions. Sammy Watkins, who finally, by the way, is 29. I mean, we've been waiting for Sammy Watkins to be 29
here.
Years old for 10 years. He always seemed to be like 25, and you're like, well, he's been in the league for 10 years. Well, now he's 29. Kind of looked like 39 on the field with the Packers this year. Not a lot of juice, and they cut the former first-round pick. He is going through waivers, and any team can claim him. Jonathan Taylor also, one of the more disappointing seasons of any player this year, always hurt, suffered a high ankle sprain, in Saturday's loss to the Vikings, and he has now been moved to IR. So Taylor, who battled ankle issues for much of the year, is done, and now the Colts can say, how do we get 2021 Jonathan Taylor back? Let's fix our offensive line and find a quarterback. So a lot of things to do. Taylor is not the problem there, but the season was a problem for him, just like many other Colts. All right, that's what's happening in the news. Let's take a break, and then we'll hit the Thursday night preview.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game winner ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game, bro.
All right, welcome back. Let's get to Thursday Night Football. And this Thursday Night Football preview is presented by Prime Video, the new exclusive home for Thursday Night Football. The Jacksonville Jaguars on a roll, feeling good about themselves, quarterback ascending, and right behind those Titans after a big comeback win over the Cowboys, travel to the Meadowlands to face the Jets, a team that continues to be competitive and compelling week after week. However, the wins have stopped coming, and they are in desperate straits as they welcome in Jacksonville. Mark, I'll start with you on this one. It was announced officially that Zach Wilson will again start for the Jets as Mike White and that rib injury on a short week, it just wasn't in the card. So it's the number two pick, Zach Wilson, against the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence. And right now that tilts heavily towards the visitors.
Yeah, I kind of feel for Zach Wilson that that's going to be the endless talking point during the game and at every sort of juncture point. And whenever Zach Wilson does, it's like, we kind of get it. I mean, if you're watching these games, we get that these two quarterbacks are in very different spots. And so let that be. I really look at a Jets team right now. They were 5-2. They're 7-7, and a lot of missed opportunities. And, I mean, it's just like each and every one of these games. You know, that 4th-and-1 spot last week against the Lions, and bang, a huge touchdown occurs. It's like there's these little inflection points for the Jets where early in the year they were winning those games, and now they're falling apart. I want to see this defense. I think this is a great game for a very good Jets defense against a second-year quarterback, against a team that's under a first-year head coach. They're playing really well to generate some takeaways at home in a big spot. They have one takeaway since week 9. They've got the guys to do it. And I know that Sauce Gardner is going to essentially make it a 10-on-10 type game. That doesn't matter so much against Jacksonville because, I mean, they have some weapons, but it's more just like find a way to make Trevor Lawrence uncomfortable. That's still a possibility in this world. And this is a game that if you're the Jets, you lose this. You lose a lot of things on the perception game, too. It's the Trevor Lawrence thing. It's one team that no one believed in going north and another team going south, the Jets. And so I think this is a huge pivot point for a team and essentially spells their season right here.
Yeah, they probably have to win all three to make the playoffs. They certainly have to win 2 out of 3. And the Jaguars are one of the teams they could be tied with in a scenario in the wild card, too, potentially. Mm-hmm. It's possible for Tennessee and Jacksonville again, so they'd have the tiebreaker. I find this game extremely tough to pick. I feel like the consensus is going to go with the Jaguars this week just because of how the two teams have been playing lately. But the point spread is about even. I think the Jets are a one-point favorite. You always like to be on the other side when everyone's pushing. And I could kind of see the Jets standing up. The Jets are a better overall team, in my mind, than the Jaguars. And I think it's a different Zach Wilson. Like, I don't think we know the Zach Wilson story exactly because his game last week, to me, was so different in shape than almost the entire rest of his career. If that had been the Zach Wilson we had seen for most of his rookie season, I think you could at least see it, like see who he is. He had 6 big-time throws in his previous 16 games. So about the most milquetoast quarterback out there on top of all the mistakes he made in accuracy. In this game against the Lions alone, he had 5 big-time throws. He threw a lot more on rhythm. sometimes he missed those throws on rhythm by quite a bit. So there was like a lot of down. I don't think he had like a good game, but I thought it was different. He was a little more on time, and you saw some talent. And if he can get more help, like a running game, and you mentioned the defense, then I think they have a decent shot here.
What about Zonovan Knight?
Right, that's what I mean. But last game, he got nothing out of his defensive
game. He's questionable.
He has nothing out of his running game, and his tackles weren't playing well either. Like, their pass rush, I guess I'm saying Zach Wilson showed me a little more in that last start than any start of his career,
so you're right, because he was attacking downfield and connected with Garrett Wilson on a few plays, and even getting as frenetic as it was on that last possession, he made some great throws to just keep them alive and give him a chance for that field goal. That said, it was an extremely erratic performance from Wilson, and it was one that he threw. The one interception he threw was a terrible read where he misread the coverage and just floated a pass that was easily picked off on first down with a clean pocket and Garrett Wilson flashing open as Elijah Moore is double covered in a zone. And it was just like, oh, man, this guy is killing us. And he misses too many throws, and yet, yes, you have some hope based on his ability to keep his eyes downfield and make some throws that you didn't see in previous weeks. So we'll see. We'll
and
see
the
what version.
The Jaguars' defense is bad.
And
well, so
is
that's
the
thing. Though. Like, I'm just happy that it's no longer the Jaguars. Like, now that they've won two straight, it's the Jaguars.
Right.
But forever. This defense, the past 2 weeks, they've been playing really well. They've been getting these big plays. They played the Cowboys really well. They picked him off twice, 4 turnovers against the Titans, Gravedigger. I mean, I'm a little worried about their offensive line, though. That's the thing that could really get them, because their left tackle, Cam Robinson, he's likely out for the entire season. And then their right tackle, Juwan Taylor, he's dealing with a hamstring injury. He's going to play, but that could be something to watch in this game. But it's so tight right now in that division with the Jaguars one game ahead of the Titans.
And to your point, Mark, about the turnovers, that is the one thing that the Jets are missing right now on defense. Carl Lawson's got to make a big play. You need to get hit Trevor Lawrence. You need to knock the ball out. Quinnen Williams, I don't know if he's playing. A short week
looks
is not
like
helping them.
It looks like he is. It's, at least they sound like
they're hopeful.
Calf thing is tricky. I could see them pushing him into the lineup because the game's so important, and then you just hope that the calf holds up. He needs to be there. It's got to be kind of all hands on deck. And just one thing I want to point out, because I wanted to point it out on Sunday, that Sauce Gardner could be first-team All-Pro cornerback this year. Sauce Gardner wasn't even involved on the screen on Sunday because the Lions, in their game plan, Ben Johnson, who we respect and could be a head coach candidate, said, nope, we're punting on that side of the field and DJ Shark's just not going to be in this game. And that's incredible that that's where Sauce is this at this point in his career. So maybe he makes a big play. Maybe DJ Reed, somebody, maybe CJ Mosley. Somebody's got to help the offense and create short fields, because the offensive line has been struggling for weeks and Zach Wilson can't do it alone.
I mean, I just think also that if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan and you're 40 years old, this is a different day for you. It feels that way for Jets fans. If they had a quarterback, can you imagine the Jets with Trevor Lawrence had that things flipped somehow and they had that? I mean, Trevor Lawrence over the last month has completely evolved and changed. And it's like you don't have a bunch of bad parenting going on in the coaching staff like a year ago, and you see how quickly he advanced. Yes, producer.
I just...
Oh, my God.
Mark, that's a great
this
point.
The show's over.
Oh, my God.
That's what? It. Mark, you make a great point there about how things could have flipped, because today is the 2-year anniversary of the day that Frank Gore sealed the Jets' win over the Rams.
Oh, I hate these late season
wins.
Hey,
the number 2 pick.
I hate these late season wins for these bad teams.
And to think that I defended you, you're not allowed to talk for the rest of the episode. Okay.
Oh,
you're out.
My God.
You've been punished. You're grounded.
See, I was looking out for you, Dan.
I'm shortening the grounding because it involved Frank Gore. I liked, you know, we have an episode on the show.
Have you read about Frank Gore recently, Greg?
What, as a boxer? No.
Well, Frank Gore is, you know, check the blotter, I guess I should say.
Greg on the wrong side of history.
You're breaking bad news to me. Sorry.
Oh, no.
What a great coaching matchup, though. Doug Peterson has kind of been in his bag lately. Like, he owned Dan Quinn in that game. Like, they had a stretch of plays where they were so far ahead of what the Cowboys defense was doing in terms of misdirection and everything, going against Robert Saleh. I think there are spots in this Jets defense to attack up the middle. That's where they like throwing, and that's not where Sauce Gardner will be, where it's like Jordan Whitehead and Will Parks and their linebackers, and that's where Christian Kirk tends to roam, and Zay Jones, and I think you'll see a lot of that. So it's a great coach. This is one of the best, most interesting games of the year, I think, because these
Whoa. Are- Wow.
Sell it, Craigie.
Whoa.
Amazon check in the mail.
Okay. Company man.
Here's
right
what
here.
I mean, though. We agree with Mike McDaniel, like, kind of about
loyal.
December football. It's a build up to this
season.
These are one of the these are two of the teams that have kind of changed who they are all season, and it's been building to this, and now it's like you get to find out who's the real one. It's good.
Sometimes I feel like it's a body swap comedy where the Jets were the feel-good also-ran team that is, like, charged into relevance, and now all of a sudden the Jaguars have kind of taken that spot.
That has to be a little frustrating for you.
Well, the good thing they play.
Yeah.
And because
I think picking the Jets in this game. Should I feel good about that? They've been a very tough team to pick
no,
all year.
No, I would be very wary of picking Zach Wilson in a primetime game with a lot on the line.
I got a feeling.
Tough one.
It's a bummer
I'm
about
loyal
Mike
to
White.
Football.
He is. All right, that was the TNF preview presented by Prime Video. The new era of Thursday Night Football is officially here, and it's only on Prime Video. All right. Oh, and by the way, this is a little treat, hopefully, for the listener. Keith and Deb, my parents, are in town, staying at the house through Christmas. Mm-hmm. It will be father and son handling the TNF recap on Thursday. Me and Keith from Hanzus Manor breaking down Jets Jags, and I promise to you Jaguars fans that I will give I will attempt
yeah, I will it's gonna attempt, be a lot of Jaguars talking
to balanced and fair coverage towards your Jags if you come out on top of this, but yes, me and my dad will break down TNF. No Friday fun show this week. We're gonna hit it up on Thursday night.
A couple football. things. I think that you would not be the broadcaster that you are without your dad, and probably what your dad talked about in the Aww. Household as a child. No, I think that's just true.
Oh, that's absolutely
true. But secondly, any parent figure that swoops in and gives us Friday off will be shipped and be multiple bottles of wine. So I am a big Keith fan.
There you go. I'll let him know that you said that.
I hope you will.
I will.
I mean it.
Let's take a break and then welcome in the legend himself, Connor Orr.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's my
game,
bro.
All right, welcome back. You'll hear the music. Christmas is this weekend. What are we, the second, third night of Hanukkah?
That's right. Jason Horowitz.
Jason Horowitz, Raiders
the
Radio.
The text thread going on about the Hanukkah business. I didn't catch up till late on that. You guys are just all over this.
Just chopping it up. Chopping up the data points around when
so
Hanukkah
third
starts.
Day of Hanukkah by the time that conversation is over.
But anyway, let's stay focused here. It is the holiday season, and one of our great friends now joins us from around the NFL. Once Upon a Time and Now, Sports Illustrated, Monday Morning Quarterback, a gifted football reporter, and a hell of a man.
Yeah.
Connor Orr, or are you kidding me? Are we going to talk about some holiday films from Lifetime, from whatever, wherever, streaming? Let's dig into it. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, let's do it. Hallmark, Dan. Come on.
Hallmark films. Yes, of course. They are not movies. They are films. And it's funny, Connor reached out to me, I mean, months ago. I'm talking, it might even been October. And he's like, hey, mm-hmm. I got to come on the show and I got to talk some of these Christmas movies because you and your lovely wife, Allison, you guys ingest these films and you process them and you wanted to have a platform to speak on it. And I am so happy that we can give that to you.
So it's funny, we're big Lifetime house, but mostly for the murder. And so, but then right after Halloween, it switches from murder to Christmas.
That's a big turn.
It's a huge turn.
Yeah.
It's something that I'm very excited about, but I have to brace everybody else for it because I think we're used to so much murder. And then when you go straight into like November 1, we're Hallmark and Lifetime Christmas all the way through the end of the year. So it's a good transition, but it's a tough transition.
That's unbelievable, Connor. In a lot of ways.
You're doing great.
Literally.
And one thing, and maybe as a way, before we get into a couple of recommendations for our audience, and I've checked because some of the ones you sent me, I watched one of them. I made sure to check that these are all streaming and anybody can get them. Did you want to touch on what are the two kind of themes? Should we do that organically during the conversation, or do you want to use that as the bed before we get into the feast here?
We can get into it. So yeah. I've kind of conveniently broken this down into actually four genres, Dan. The fact that almost all of them hit these notes are really incredible. And so the first is that your husband is better than you think he is. Basically,
yes.
There's a woman who gets a mystical wish granted and wakes up in another life where she gets to marry the and there's been several of these. So the hot art dealer, the hot sports writer. There's one with a sports writer. I'm not kidding. And
really?
I
love that one.
Naturally.
Holiday Switch, which you recommended starring Nicole Eggert, 2007. Just that scenario. She goes through a washing machine and comes out the other side married to an art dealer and realizes...
She goes through a washing machine?
She realizes the schlub husband back in her poor life is the man for her. And I thought that was... Yeah, and a lesson that, you know, the ladies can learn from.
I can't believe she didn't go through a dishwasher or a refrigerator or a stove.
Right. Written by a guy.
I'm getting angry.
All right. So that's one theme. Okay. Your husband is better than you think he is.
Okay.
I don't mind that one. Yeah.
And I'll just, so the sports writer one, though, I'll just close with this. It's very funny that the moral of the story is like, oh, like she's like, God, I wish I knew what life was going to be like if I married this sports writer. It made it seem so glamorous, right? And then she ends up regretting it because she's like, oh, he's a jerk and he's on his phone the whole time. And it's like, yes, that's very true. Most of us.
It's like, honey, sorry, I'm busy. Albert Breer is calling.
Yeah. I'm never home. I work every weekend and I have a slight gambling habit. Sorry.
Yep. Merry Christmas.
All right.
Okay.
Theme two.
Next. Theme two is I'm a big shot coming back to my small hometown, and it's time to focus more on Christmas and marry the girl in high school I overlooked.
Oh, my God. This is why I don't watch Hallmark.
Big fish, small pond.
And does the gender switch here? Is it also sometimes the woman as well who's successful and comes back and says, well, that's not what life's about?
Correct. So that would touch more on Christmas in Tahoe. And so this was a... very powerful female marketing executive who came back to Tahoe to save the family's Christmas hotel. And she hooks up with her ex-boyfriend who's a musician, and they put on a Christmas spectacular that saves the hotel.
And just so people know, who is that actor that portrays the musician, Connor Orr?
Well, it's not the actor that portrays the musician. There's a bellhop in there played by the lead singer of Train.
And
so good.
My question is, how did the lead singer in Train make time to shoot this film when he's playing every NFL event, pregame shows and whatnot?
There you go.
He was so good. He delivered an Academy worthy performance.
I would like to see like the film that happens a year later after Powerful Figure goes back to small little misty hometown, mm-hmm. gets swept up in this emotional drama. Then like a year later, it's like, wait a minute, totally wrong decision.
And it is
trying to book the first.
I also want to know, like, how bad an actor is the lead singer from Train that he couldn't be the lead guy who's the musician?
Well, he probably plays the music.
He had to prepare for like the 2014 NFL kickoff from San Francisco, probably. Connie, and that's another one. That one's again. These are hitting some, uncomfortable pressure points in terms of what are they telling the women watching this to do?
That your career doesn't matter, and the only thing that actually does matter is having a family and making that family happy. Is that right, Connor? Is that
that's subliminal?
Pretty accurate.
Oh, now you're making me seem like I came here from the Patriot News Network. I like these because they're very easy storylines to follow, and I'm not a smart person.
Will you allow, Connor, that there is some of that messaging baked into it, perhaps at a largely female audience?
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's why you're seeing Candace Cameron Bure, who's sort of the Meryl Streep of Hallmark, coming under fire for some of her. She's got some hot takes. And you kind of unleash her, it gets a little scary out there.
I think
certainly not takes I endorse.
The entire network is probably aimed at people who have already made these decisions, who are cemented in them, and must just to be confirmed by the film that they made the right decision.
This all makes me a little nervous because constantly my dad is telling me around this time of year that I need to go, I need to leave NFL Network and go work at Hallmark Channel.
Great advice.
As an actress or?
I don't know what he thinks I'm going to do there.
That would be great if you came for Candace Cameron Bure's crown as the queen.
Wow. I'm not sure I want to sit on that throne.
All right. What's the third theme?
Okay, so not going to make Colleen any happier.
Okay.
The third theme here.
But Connor does not endorse any of these, Colleen. Let's just be clear.
Give me a lower third that's like,
so
no.
So in the Christmas spirit. Yeah.
The third theme is I'm a humble bookstore owner, pie store owner, coffee store owner, candy store owner, Christmas store owner, and I'm about to get swept up by the hot accountant coming to audit me.
Oh,
okay.
That sounds kind of like a porn.
Yeah, that's more straightforward.
Yeah, I think that's the right.
I think everyone could enjoy that.
Yeah.
The whole family.
That's
how did your daughter, Evelyn, is getting older? Is she old enough to watch some of these movies?
We did. We all watched A Royal Christmas together, which is that's the fourth category of just straight up bangers where you're just vomiting Christmas everywhere. You put the network's biggest star on. You spend a little bit of money. Mm. And, Lacey Chabert from Mean Girls was in it. She's pretty good. Jane
that's pretty
Seymour.
Good. Oh, that's a good booking.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what happens? So, they're just getting together and having Christmas?
What is the theme for number four?
It's got to be some drama point.
Lacey Chabert is a humble tailor's assistant who's dating her run-of-the-mill college boyfriend. And then, surprise, guys, her college boyfriend is actually a prince of a small country.
Stop.
The old switcheroo, theme four.
Yeah.
So it's like Coming to America?
I don't get that. So all along, she didn't realize he just floated through high school as a secret royal?
Okay.
So floated through college as a secret prince.
Eddie Murphy might be able to sue the screenwriters of that particular
franchise. It's in reverse, though. You know, she proved her real love for him because she didn't know he was a prince, you see.
This is all making me want to murder. Like, I know that Hallmark is murder and then Christmas, but for some reason, Christmas is making me feel murder.
Is there? I understand that. We want to get that out of you, though. Is there a point in those films where there's a misunderstanding where it appears that the partner was in it for the wrong reasons and is like, no, but you don't understand. I loved you before I knew you were the prince. Like, no, the other romantic rival framed it to look otherwise. Any of that dynamic going on?
So it would kind of be the other thing that you would expect it to be, which is Jane Seymour, who's the queen of this small nation, doesn't accept Lacey as royalty.
Of course,
And so then, you know, she has to kind of work her way into royalty, but also like, Jane Seymour's got to eat a cheesesteak because they're from Philly. And so, you know, there's
hey,
like,
oh, shoot.
You know, yeah.
Khalid's back in. All right.
Yeah. Can I just say the film I watched, Holiday Switch, 2007, Nicole Eggert,
and this really made an impact on you.
It actually kind of did. And I sat down and watched it with my wife. And when it was over, and I guess this is the biggest endorsement I could give it, I felt a little better.
I am concerned for you, Dan.
How did Emily feel?
She, you know what? I think she kind of was into it a little bit too. And we had some fun watching it, poking at certain plot elements or actors that were maybe a little outclassed. I think that's the fun of the films for me, which is, yes, sometimes it's a shoestring budget or it's an actor you haven't seen in a while, and then bang, they're in a lead role. And for instance, Eggert, I thought, gave an excellent performance in Switch. I think she really nailed it. And it's a reminder that, yeah, maybe the gigs dry up, but when they get the opportunity, you could shine.
She's grown as a thespian, too. Maybe she's been working on a craft behind the scenes.
It's a little bit, for those roles, Connor, these leads, they're pretty dramatic roles. They're meaty roles in which the emotions are all over the place. And if you don't have the right person there, maybe that's why the lead singer Train was stuck as a bellboy. He didn't have that dynamic range.
Well, you listen to, so I watched Christian Bale give a speech on sort of the way that he arrived at some of his most famous characters. And I would say in Nicole Eggert's case, like, there is no studying that you can do. This has never happened in life. And so you have to just go head first and plunge into the washing machine. Right. And you're not going to know
come out the other side. Works,
how it happens. And it's all feel. And if anything, what else is being an actor but going with your heart and your gut there?
Very now good. Was there like a magical spin cycle? She like spun it too far around and it landed on a crazy button.
Have the
how did that work?
In an ideal situation, they would have had a some type of interstitial where you see her traveling through dimensions, but the budget didn't have that. So literally, she goes in a crappy washing machine in a basement and comes out in a mansion in a different washing machine.
But you have
machine.
To return back through the other side of the washing machine to get back, right?
Because I've always wondered, what is permanent press? Maybe that's it.
I would say check your settings closely if you're looking for an escape in your life, and look up Holiday Switch, which you can get quite cheap on many streamers.
Wow.
Gonna watch it tonight.
See, it seems like we could all make that jump to Hallmark one day. If we wanted to.
Connor, anything else you want to share before we say goodbye? And this has been incredibly enlightening. If you want to maybe, whether here or through your social media, let people know what films to target if they want to go down this road, this is the opportunity.
Okay. So, I mean, listen, it's Hallmark, right? So you just turn on Hallmark and it's Christmas movies all the time. You can't go wrong. And, you know, you can come for the plot lines, but you stay for the bones of each movie, which are identical, right? Which is that something happens, the couple drifts apart, comes together at Christmas, shares one dry kiss, and then the movie is over. And so that's it. And if you're looking for
bone dry,
and if you're just looking for repetitive, non-thinking stuff, I mean, it's great. You know, I'll have Thursday night football on one window, and then I'm gonna have my Hallmark up on another window. It's gonna be great.
Connor, it reminds me of this tweet that I saw over the weekend. This guy, he wrote that I forced a bot to watch over 1,000 hours of Hallmark Christmas movies and then asked it to write a Hallmark Christmas movie of its own, and actually has a script here. So do you mind if I share a little bit of that?
I would love to hear it.
Critique it? Okay. So the movie is called The Christmas on Christmas. And this is from Keaton Patty. So you guys should all follow this person because they are hilarious. Okay. So The Christmas on Christmas. And it takes place at a small town snow globe refillery. We see a single mother refilling snow globes with Christmas juice. She is widow. Her husband died in every war.
Ooh.
Single mother. I refill snow globes better than Jesus' claws, yet still my twins are dad-free. Why? They need double dad. Businessman enters the shop. He wears clothes that cost money. His hands are briefcases. He's Hallmark hot. The single mother says, "Hi, do your snow globes lack wet? Hurry, Christmas attacks soon." Businessman has flashback to when he was business boy. A Christmas tree explodes his family on purpose. Ouch. He now hates trees and Christmas and explosions. He exits the flashback. Businessman says, "Shut your sound. I am from huge city. I bought your land and am turning it into an oil resort."
That's the antagonist. Mm-hmm.
And then the single mother says, "Rude behavior. This is a family business. I sell families. I am widow. My husband is now bones." Single mother points to her husband's bones in the corner of the room. They are all gift wrapped in eggnog.
This is amazing.
There's more, but I mean, it's that's the best.
The Hallmark hot dad. I feel like that's like Blake Shelton.
Hallmark hot, yeah. I think, is a thing. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, it shifts from, I feel like it's a fun kind of identifier of where we're at societally, right? Because if you look at movies from like 2007 and then 2015 and then 2022, the body type and sort of the desirability of the person is completely different, right? And so they're sort of adjusting with the trends and the times, you know?
And that's what you need. You need to keep adjust. Even in the world of Hallmark films, you got to adjust with the times. But the kisses, always bone dry.
Bone dry.
Connor, you've said it all.
Wrapped in eggnog.
hit up Connor if you want some recommendations on Christmas films. I will be checking out Christmas Detour. I plan. What
classic.
What is the train guy one?
The Christmas in Tahoe.
Christmas in Tahoe, absolutely. Thank you, Connor. Have a Merry Christmas, my friend, and a Happy New Year, and we'll see you soon.
Happy holidays, friends.
Merry
Christmas. See you, Connor.
Wow.
Oh, I miss him.
I know.
He's the best.
Can we just have him in here? Can we have him?
We'll put him in the corner.
I feel like that was
his bones.
Connor's
are in the
dream.
It's in the corner with the eggnog wrapping.
To come on and not even have a hint towards football. That's what Connor wanted all along.
I think we needed that. Mark, and I would say that maybe this Christmas season, give one of those films a try. In fact, Holiday Switch, 2007, Nicole Eggert, and a husband looks suspiciously like John Ritter to the point you look him up and it's like, oh, we played John Ritter in an unauthorized Three's Company
Holiday Switch
TV film from 2003.
I'm writing this down. Holiday Switch.
Holiday Switch.
I feel like that could bring up multiple things on a Google search, but
no,
I'm going to...
it will only bring up the 2007 film, I hope, with Nicole Eggert. If you could just watch it and let me know if it anything.
I'll report back to you.
If you feel from it.
I am susceptible to these.
That's why I'm
films.
Curious. Yeah. I think you could be.
I am.
Because the pathos of the Eggert performance does land for me.
I wrote it down.
All right.
We
anything
have some
else?
Developing news.
What?
Based on a story
this
you
better be
mentioned.
If it's
earlier.
Not about a Christmas movie, I am leaving.
It's a two-pronged story. The Ravens have claimed veteran Sammy Watkins off waivers on
problem solved.
Tuesday. In part because, or possibly because, Devin Duvernay left practice on Tuesday with a foot injury, and there is concern it could be significant, according to Pellraiser, Tom Pelissero.
The Ravens.
It's got
these
Liz
injuries.
Frank written all over it. She never takes a holiday off. Harlot. That stinks. I think the Ravens are cooked, by the way. I think this is going down a bad path. Did you see
Duvernay's
the story?
Duvernay's kind of barely been playing lately. It's been rough out there.
What does
there
that say,
receiver.
Considering there? Did you see the news?
Sammy Watkins and DeSean Jackson?
That someone papered the outside of their facility with, like, fire Greg Roman flyers.
Their
offensive coordinator. And it was, you know, led to people asking John Harbaugh, are you planning to make any changes to your staff? And then someone else on the staff actually Instagrammed a photo of one of the flyers before quickly
Tyus
taking
Bowser.
It down.
It was the pass rusher did. And
it's like, what are we doing?
why are we
amplifying that?
He deleted it. It was unclear if like he supported it, but he just said okay.
I don't know about
like
that.
Sounds like the
one,
act of a child gang.
anyway, that's interesting. Sammy Watkins. I don't know, man. I don't know if he gets open anymore.
All of my wives are bones. That is America. But I must make money for my twins to live. They are a prince. Single mother. I too own twins. Please. Don't have bought my land. Christmas is today. Businessman. Laugh. I bought Christmas and now it is never unless we go on dates. Single mother. I cannot date because of a snow curse. I pray Santa helps me. Santa cannot help. She did not know, but Santa was her husband. Santa is bones. Bones help nobody.
The bones are the money.
That was a dangerous plot twist. Wait, so Santa's dead?
Is it Santa's dead.
Santa's
and his
passed.
Bones are... wrapped
Santa,
in
Santa, not bones and all.
Wow.
Yeah.
No longer just a mythical figure.
That breaks my brain reading each of the sentences.
It's so funny.
But I would watch the film. All right. Thank you to everybody for checking out another episode of Around the NFL. We'll be back on Thursday with the Week 16 preview episode. How about that? And then TNF recap with Keith at night. Sounds fun. Heed the call.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to to episode 2 of the Heat and Light podcast. This is Mark Sessler, joined, as always, well, really only the second time, I guess it's still always, by Connor Orr.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Oh, my God.
I'm doing well. Getting ready for the weekend, you know, gearing up.
We like to do this on Friday because once we wrap this up, we can kind of coast through a rather brain-dead last few hours on the shift in the newsroom and kind of snow under our employer on that front. And then it's the weekend. Then we start to imbibe liquors. We start to be out in the sun. So that's fun. I know, Connor, this week
be out in the sun.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.